remain standing, if you will. Be turning in your Bible to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5 for our text this morning. Amen. Appreciate that song and all the songs that we sang. Amen. Amen. Wonderful words of life. Brother Philip, can I get you to run them? Amen. I want to get out from under the judgment before I preach this morning. Amen. I'm just kidding, but I thank the Lord for the opportunity to give. Amen. The opportunity to be able to be in the house of God. As we said, appreciate those songs that we sang already. Do pray for those that are not able to be with us. Pray that God would strengthen them and allow them to be back with us soon. And that the Lord would meet the different needs. Particularly, we got some people that have been sick a good while. Then we got some children that are sick. We want to see the children doing well and healthy and happy. Amen. So remember those things, if you will. All right. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 19. One verse. All I'm going to read this morning and take my text from this particular verse. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 19. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Read that one verse again. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Steve Vincent, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer, Brother Steve. Amen. I want to preach on that first phrase, and we know that we are of God. I want to preach on the assurance of faith. I'm glad you can have assurance. You can know. Amen. My dad and mom stopped back in with us on one day this week, now Thursday. And they're on their way back to Kansas. They'd been down in North Carolina, preached a couple of missions conferences there. And they stopped in actually late, got in fairly late that afternoon and left out on Friday morning then. And they did that going in this time as well. But they stopped in with us, and that was a blessing. But Dad is talking about a man that he went to witness to, a man in his 80s that Dad's known for a number of years, nearly all my life. And I've known him. And he's a lost man. He's a good man as far as reasonably moral. He'd give you the shirt off his back. He's a hard-working man, a farmer. That's how my dad met him. When we raised hogs, he was a lot bigger hog farmer than we were. And Dad learned from him a lot. They became close friends. And Dad, periodically, whenever he's in, tries to go and witness to him and tries to win him to the Lord. But in that statement, that man told my dad this. He said, some time ago, he said, two men came and did what you're doing. They witnessed to me. And he said, they prayed, and when they got done, they told me that I was saved. And he said, I started to say something, and said, one of them said, wait a minute, Pete, don't say a word. Don't say a word. You're saved. Whether you feel like it or know it or not, you're saved. And here's what Pete said. He said, but I knew I wasn't. That's what he said. I knew I wasn't. His wife spoke up and she said, Plato, don't you believe that if a person got saved, they would know it? Amen. Of course, Pete's argument is, could you know it? Would you know it? Well, according to the scripture here, you can know it. Amen. Amen. You can know that you're saved by the grace of God. Now, this particular verse deals with two groups of people, as we know that's all there is, saved and unsaved. He deals with people that are of God, people that are of the world. Right? People that are of God apparently are not those that are lying in wickedness. Those that are lying in wickedness are those that are of the world. He mentions that and shows those two groups of people. And so there was a time we realized that we were of the world. There was a time we realized that we, as the whole world, lieth in wickedness. We was a part of that. But by the grace of God, something changed. Amen. I should say, by the grace of God, everything changed. Isn't that right? Amen. And so God made a difference in our life. Now, there's no denying, we have to say we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's no denying that. You can't open your eyes without seeing that our whole world is steeped in wickedness. No, nobody doubts that. Amen. At least no reasonable person would doubt that fact, because we can see it very easily. Matter of fact, that's why you teach your children don't take candy from strangers. Because you know you can't trust everybody. The children don't know that yet. Amen. You tell them don't go off with strangers. I mean, a lot of things that you do with that, teaching them, because they do not know better. They don't know not to run out in the parking lot behind cars. They don't know a lot of that. But you know you can't trust strangers. Sometimes you can't trust people you know. Amen. But the idea here is that you know that the world lieth in wickedness. There's absolutely no question about that. Since we know that, he said in this text, we know that we are of God. And we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. So I believe he's saying that it is possible to have assurance of salvation. Amen. Some people wrestle with that. Some people don't have that assurance. And that's part of the reason I'm preaching this message today. I've not dealt with people in the congregation recently that battle with that. But I know that it happens. Some people battle over and over again as to whether or not they can be assured of their salvation. And according to the last chapter of the book of 1 John, we can know. Amen. You know, the whole book of 1 John is written that you might know. And he over and over and over again, he talks about knowing, being assured of these things. Amen. Now, I know there's disagreement on this principle. Some groups say that you can never be sure. You can never state with certainty the fact that you're safe in the arms of Jesus. Amen. That you're never sure that you're safe in your faith. Matter of fact, some people believe that that's audacious, the audacity to think that you can be sure of your salvation. Well, John had that audacity. Paul had that audacity. Amen. The early church believers had that audacity. I'll say the New Testament Christians, those early New Testament Christians, all had assurance of their salvation. On the other extreme, I've heard people say if you ever doubted it, then that means you're lost. I think that's foolish. Amen. Just because you doubt something doesn't mean that it's not true. Some people, I doubt the sun's going to come up in the morning, but it will. Amen. A lot of doubts that may come doesn't mean that you're not saved. Matter of fact, some people say, well, can a person be fearful? Can a person believe they could lose their salvation and ever actually be saved? Well, I don't know about that, but I will say this. I remember hearing it said that D.L. Moody was talking with, what was the Nazarene preacher now? Robinson. Was it Buddy Robinson? Bud. All right. Yeah, Uncle Bud. There we go. Uncle Bud Robinson. And they were talking about it. And Uncle Bud said to D.L., they was both giving their testimony. Uncle Bud said to D.L. Moody, he said, I think you've prayed through and just don't know it. And Brother Moody said, and I think you've got eternal life and just don't know it. Amen. Amen. So you can have something even that you're not assured of. Amen. That you may doubt now and then doesn't mean that you don't have it. But I'm going to say that you can have assurance from God about where your faith stands. Amen. Amen. Don't get to that place where you never question your safety, that you never question the validity of your salvation. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that we ought to question it. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter number 5 and verse number 39, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Amen. So here he's talking about examine yourself. Search the scriptures. Amen. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that it's profitable for us to examine ourselves. It's profitable for us to take a look and check out and see if we're saved or not. But it's also, it is profitable for us to get it settled Amen. For us to recognize what are we trusting in for salvation. Amen. Having searched the scriptures, having examined ourselves, it would seem to me that we ought to obtain a proper and sufficient evidence from the scriptures, from the inward working of the Holy Ghost. There ought to be some sufficient evidences that might grant us assurance, that might grant us some comfort. Amen. That we could find strong consolation in the Word of God. We could find strong consolation in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here's what I believe. I don't believe our assurance ought to lie on what we did. Our assurance ought to lie on what God said and what the Holy Ghost is doing in our heart. Amen. We search the scriptures and we search the Spirit. Amen. We have the proof of the scriptures and we have the proof of the Spirit that will over and over again will show us whether we're saved or whether we're not. Amen. Matter of fact, Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Amen. When we ran to Jesus, there's two immutable things that God cannot lie. These two things don't change. That's what it means. They never change. And that is the fact God's Word and God's Holy Spirit will tell us whether we're saved or not. Amen. I believe the Bible contains the promises of eternal life. Amen. And the Holy Spirit witnesses to the believer that we are the children of God. Amen. Amen. Here's what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Scripture will make you wise unto salvation. It'll point you in that right way. Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. He says, the Spirit, that's capital S, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God. Paul went on to say, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. Amen. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer. The Holy Spirit does a work in the believer. Amen. Amen. Our assurance does not work or does not rest upon the words of some man. Our assurance rests upon the words of God, the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Amen. And rests on the indwelling, inworking of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's where our assurance must rest. Amen. Assurance of salvation. And yet with this assurance being available, with this assurance being desirable, there are some that seem not to be able to lay hold of it. These people question themselves. They seemingly listen to the whispers of doubt. Amen. I thought about this week. I thought about the devil. When the devil approached Eve, I preached through this some several months back. But when the devil approached Eve, he started with a question. But that question didn't stop with a question. That question became a denial of what God said. Amen. You know what the devil does? The devil tries to question God's promises. And the devil will deny God's promises. That's what he is. He's the great denier. Amen. That's exactly what he is. And so these people seem to never be able to lay hold on the promises. Rather, they're tossed to and fro by all the winds of Satan's accusations. And here's what the devil said. Well, because you did that, that means you're not saved. I'm not saved because of what I did. I'm saved because of what Jesus did, according to the Word of God. Amen. I'm saved because of what the Holy Ghost did working in my heart. Amen. That's where salvation comes from. Salvation comes from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so talking about this laying hold on this faith and having assurance of faith. John said, 1 John 5:19 that I read there, and we know, and you can know, that we are of God. Amen. John's not just talking about the apostles know this. I believe he's talking about all the believers know this. All those that were listening. He said, you're part of this great faith. And because of that, you can know that you are of God. Amen. 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 I've got about 4 or 5 points here that I want to bring out this morning. Well, about 4, I think, and then 1 for the conclusion. I want to say, first of all, salvation is by faith. Salvation is by faith. Turn, if you will, to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. And I'll say, who would you think might be an authority on how to be saved? Who you reckon to be an authority? Well, I guess the Savior ought to be an authority on that, wouldn't you guess? I won't say that the Savior ought to be an authority. I'd say the Savior is the authority. Amen. On how to get saved. And we find him in John chapter number 3 witnessing to an individual. This individual came to him by night, and Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. You know the text. Here's what Jesus said. Look at verse number 14. I'll read just a few verses here. Jesus, I believe he's preaching a message to him. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, I underline that phrase, believeth in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. You notice how many times Jesus said, you got to believe. Faith is the way of salvation. Salvation is by faith. Amen. Jesus told his disciples to go forth preaching. He said, here's why he told them in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now there's a couple of notes to apply there. You recognize people that have been termed water dogs, these groups of people that preach baptism necessary for salvation. Some call them Christians, disciples of Christ, Church of Christ, these different groups that promote, say you got to be baptized in order to be saved. They take that verse. But they don't recognize that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized is saved, but he that believeth not, he doesn't say, and is not baptized, or he that believeth but is not baptized. In other words, this verse does not mean, nor does it insinuate, that those who are not baptized are not saved. Rather, what it's saying is that those who do not believe are not saved. Amen. Their damnation comes not from a failure to be baptized, but their damnation comes because they believe not. Now, by the way, that doesn't belittle baptism. Baptism is the first step after salvation. Amen. Baptism, I believe, is what joins you to the local church. When you get saved, you ought to get into a local church. Amen. Of believers. That's not contingent upon salvation. In other words, salvation is not contingent upon baptism. Baptism is contingent upon salvation. Amen. And just following Christ. This verse designates that salvation is by faith. Now, let me also say this, that neither this verse nor the previous verses, and even verses that I'll use later on in this message, are meant to be a supposed evidence that faith is all that's needed and repentance is never needed. Don't get that false belief either. Amen. Amen. There are, and by the way, I'll say repentance is absolutely needed. Amen. But there are times when it's emphasized repentance without emphasizing faith. And then there's times when it's emphasizes faith without emphasizing repentance. It's not negating either one. But I'm using for my message today, it's faith. You need to be assured of your faith. Salvation is by faith. Sometimes Jesus and his apostles preached and laid the emphasis upon repentance. And when they did that, it's almost like that is all that was needed. Then sometimes they'd preach and lay the emphasis on believing or faith. And it was as if that was all that was needed. In other words, sometimes, me and Brother Steve talked about this not too awful long ago. Sometimes because we know what people out there are thinking or what people out yonder listen to the radio or parsing our words, what they're thinking, we think we gotta say it just exactly right so everybody gets the exact idea. When what we ought to do is just sow the seed, it takes the Holy Ghost to save sinners. And the Holy Ghost can do it with my words or without my words, but if I'll preach the truth of God, amen, I don't have to nail it down so you understand it. If the Holy Ghost can use it, thank God, He can save sinners with that, amen. But because we're living in such a contentious day, litigious day, we feel like we got to say everything exactly right every time we say it. Paul didn't do that, even our Lord didn't do that. Sometimes I've read what the Lord said and I said, Lord, if you'd just said that a little plainer, it'd have made it so much simpler. Do I have the right to tell God how He ought to preach? Or should He be the one to tell me how I ought to preach? Amen. I get all kinds of excited about it. These fellas go off to a Bible college. They take 1 year of Greek and all of a sudden they think they can straighten out all them Greek scholars that translated the King James Bible. They know more after 1 year of Greek. All they know is just what me and you know. They know how to read a Strong's Concordance. Amen. That's about right. Well, let me get off of that. Amen. Here, the prophets and the apostles all witness that salvation is by faith. Amen. They witness that believing in Christ, would forgive men of their sins. Amen. I've got several verses here. Acts chapter number 10, verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Amen. All the prophets preach that. Amen. That salvation is by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. I like that. I know and believe. I'm assured of, God takes the word of God, and the Spirit of God applies that. Amen. And we're saved by the Scriptures and the Spirit of God. That's where our hope lies. Those two immutable truths. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Amen. Romans 10, 8 through 10, we know this very well, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't think that there could be a relevant argument against this proposition that salvation is by faith. Amen. Folks come in and try to say salvation is by works. It's easy. It's easy to derail that, debunk that. Easy. Because all through the Bible, it teaches salvation is by faith. Amen. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. Amen. So some people that do not question that salvation is by faith, yet they have this question. How much faith is required? So my first point is salvation is by faith. My second point is how much faith is required for salvation? Sometimes some people doubt their salvation, and what they're really doubting is whether they had enough faith to save them. Did I have enough faith? Well, one good answer to that is this. Is your faith in your faith? Or is your faith in Christ? Amen. That bears repeating. Is your faith in your faith? Or is your faith in Christ? Because Christ is enough. Amen. Christ is enough. What are you trusting in? Are you trusting Christ to save you? Or are you trusting your faith to save you? Well, if I can just pray right, if I can just do right, if I can just believe right, I'll be saved. No, it's not what you do right. It's what Christ did that was right. Amen. And you're trusting Him. There's actually only two kinds of faith found in the Bible. Living faith and dead faith. James talks about faith being dead without works, James chapter 2, verse 17. What he's saying, he's calling that a false faith. Dead faith is a false faith. It doesn't have life-giving ability. If it's dead, I mean, how do you get life from death? Amen. If it's dead faith, it doesn't have life-giving ability. It doesn't have life-changing ability. But living faith has life-giving ability and life-changing ability. In other words, true faith, false faith. That's really the only two kinds of faith there are. Amen. And he talks about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, when he talks about the just shall live by faith. Matter of fact, quoted three times in the New Testament, once in the Old Testament. The just shall live by his faith. Amen. And so there's a living faith that gives you justification in the eyes of God. Amen. It's a life-giving faith. It's a life-changing faith. Amen. Now, if your faith is resting on your baptism, you got a dead faith. If your faith is resting in your religion, you got a dead faith. If your faith is resting in your denomination, your faith is resting in your heritage, your faith is resting in your family, whatever the case, your faith is resting in something besides Christ, that is not true faith. It's dead faith. Can't give you life. Can't change your life. Amen. Amen. I remember, some of you remember a gentleman that came here for a little while, sat back over on this side most of the time when he come, and Junk Man. Wasn't that, that's his name. What he went by. I had his name. When I called him by his name, he said, just call me Junk Man. That's what everybody calls me. But he came in one day during the week, brought a friend with him. He came to church a few times, there with him. But he brought this friend in with him. And this friend, he said he needs to be saved. And so sat in my office, talked with him a little bit. And here's what he said. He said, now my brother-in-law is a member of the Church of Christ. My brother-in-law told me that, he said, I can't read and write. He said, so my brother-in-law told me if I'd come to their church that he'd teach me how to read. And when I learned how to read, then he'd baptize me and I could be saved. Junkman said, you'll die in your sin before you learn how to read. He said, why wait till then? And that fellow said, that's what I mean. He said, I need to be saved now. I don't need to wait till I learn how to read. I need to be saved now. And so he asked me, he said, would you baptize me? I said, no, sir, because salvation's not in baptism. I don't want you trusting in baptism. That's what I told him. I don't want you trusting in baptism. I said, if you're convicted of your sin by the Holy Ghost, what you need to do is trust Christ and Him alone. Amen. He bowed right there, called on the Lord, said the Lord saved him. Amen. When he got ready to leave, he was walking out the door. Junk Man said, ain't you glad you got saved? He said, if you die today, he said, you can go to heaven saved by the grace of God. He said, if you'd have waited on your brother-in-law, he said, you might even have got baptized if you'd have went to hell wet. That's what he said. Amen. Wet sinner, dry sinner, baptism doesn't change the sinner part. It takes the grace of God. Amen. Faith in the Lord Jesus. But the question is, how much faith? How much faith? I believe only faith with life-giving power can have life-changing power. That is the faith that it takes to get folks saved from their sins. Amen. Now, the Bible does talk about little faith, great faith, being full of faith. Amen. He talks about a level of faith different degrees of faith. Different amounts of faith that's there. Amen. Turn, if you will, to the book of Matthew. We'll look at Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter number 8. I'll show you a couple of verses, a couple of different places. Searching the scripture, I can't find anywhere that salvation depends on how much faith you have. Because salvation is not dependent on your faith. Salvation is dependent on who or what your faith is in. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. It's dependent, not dependent on how much faith you had, but dependent on where you put that faith. In Matthew chapter number 8, these disciples are in a ship in a storm. And there's another account later on in chapter number 14. We'll go there in a minute. Chapter number 8, look at verse number 25. And his disciples came to him. Jesus is in the lower part of the ship. You know about that. And the ship's covered with the waves. All right. Verse 25. And his disciples came to him and awoke him saying, Lord, save us. We perish. Did he say how much faith he got now, fellas? Here's what he said. He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now here's what I noticed. He did sort of complain to them about how come they had so little faith, but he saved them anyhow, even with little faith. Even with little faith. Amen. Look at in chapter number 14. There's another account. This is the one where Peter walks on the water. Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 30. Peter's out there on the water. Verse number 29, we see that. Verse 30. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Same thing them fellows said earlier. Save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Again, Jesus complained to Peter about why he had such little faith, but it didn't stop Jesus from saving him even with little faith. Amen. That's why I believe even a child can get saved by the grace of God. Don't take major faith to get you saved. It just takes a great Savior to get you saved. Little faith in a great Savior can get you saved. Amen. Amen. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I'm not sure if I got enough faith, Lord. All right, just put what you do have in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Don't worry or fret over how large or how small your amount of faith or your degree of faith might be. Amen. Don't worry or fret over how much faith you might have had at that moment of salvation. By the way, I would reckon that a newborn babe in Christ might have just a little faith and might be expected to grow in the faith and in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior as he desires the sincere milk of the Word. Amen. I got saved as an 8-year-old boy, and as far as I know, as far as I can remember and as I can tell, I just trusted Christ. I just believed Christ. Amen. I didn't even, be honest with you, I didn't even know that it was possible to go down to the altar and ask God to save me and him not save me. I just believed he would. And he did. Amen. But I know more now than I knew then, and I trust him more now than I could trust him then. I believe I got more faith now than I had then. Amen. I know a little bit more, and that comes through knowledge and through learning of him. Amen. The more you know him, the better you ought to love him, and better you ought to serve him. Amen. So I say salvation is by faith. Number two, how much faith is required. Looks to me like even little faith can get you saved by the grace of God. Number three, I want to talk about assurances of salvation or assurances of faith. That's what we're dealing with. When doubts arise in your mind, doubts arise about your faith, you should not question how much faith you had. But what you ought to question is, what did your faith look to? Where was your faith directed? Amen. That text that Spurgeon loved that pointed him to Christ. Look unto me, is God speaking. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Amen. Look unto me. A lot of people are looking to other things. The Holy Ghost will not tell you to look at somebody else. The Holy Ghost tell you to look at Jesus. The Holy Ghost won't tell you to look down deep inside yourself and see if there's anything worth saving. Amen. By the way, it's almost like this. Brother White, it's almost like people that question, did I have enough faith? Then they're saying, was I good enough for him to save? No, you weren't good enough. None of us is good enough. And the Holy Ghost don't say, look inside you and see if there's anything worth saving. No, the Holy Ghost says, look to Jesus. He came to save sinners and He's able to save sinners. Amen. Did you look to Christ by faith? Amen. Real saving faith. That faith that comes from God points men to Jesus. Causes people to look to Christ. Jesus spoke here in John chapter number 3 to Nicodemus like that. As that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. What in the world did that do? Well, by faith they looked. By faith they looked, and everybody that looked was healed. That's what Jesus is saying. They're going to have to look to me by faith. Amen. Amen. Look to Jesus. Now, the devil will tell you that it's hopeless. The flesh will tell you you're all right just like you are. But the Holy Spirit will tell you that you ought to look to Christ for salvation. Amen. People that want to continue living in their sins, people that want to continue going on the way they've always gone, they'll settle for a slender hope. Oh yeah, they'll trust signing a card. They'll trust repeating a prayer. They'll trust shaking a preacher's hand. They'll trust joining a church. They'll trust agreeing to a list of questions. They'll trust those things because they don't want to turn to Christ. Amen. They want to have faith in their faith. If they have any faith, I believe it must be dead faith, non-life-giving faith, non-life-changing faith, because they're not looking to Christ. They're looking to something else other than Christ. Amen. When a conscience has been awakened, conscience has been awakened by the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's what it takes. That's conviction. Amen. The Holy Ghost awakens our conscience. We recognize all of a sudden, well, I see it now. I know it now. I know something that I didn't know earlier. There's a truth that's been implanted in my heart that I didn't recognize before, and that is that I'm a sinner. And you recognize the seriousness of sin. And you recognize the holiness of God. And you recognize that that holiness of God must be dealt with. And that means my sin must be dealt with. And there must be a go-between somewhere. And the Holy Ghost points to Christ. Amen. Who was sinless and holy. Amen. But He came and took upon Himself the form of a man. Amen. And He took upon Himself our sin. Amen. Became sin for us. Amen. You're not looking to yourself for salvation. You're not even looking to a prayer for salvation. You're not even looking to a church for salvation. You're looking to Jesus for salvation. Amen. That's where the Holy Ghost points people. Amen. Those people, I believe, will call out upon the Lord, whether verbally or silently. In their heart, they'll call on God. Amen. For salvation. Amen. Now you may doubt or even question if Christ would be willing to save somebody like you. Amen. Let me remind you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 7 verse number 25 says this, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. Amen. Again, I say don't look to yourself. Don't look to see if there's anything in you to recommend you to Him. Just look to Him. Amen. Amen. Just look to Him. The Apostle Paul, if anybody had a right, we was talking about it up here earlier, but Paul listing his qualifications and all those things Paul had going for him before he was saved. But even after he's saved, Paul had been greatly used of God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, amen, to plant churches all over the Roman Empire, amen, to train men to follow in his footsteps after he was gone. Paul had done all those wonderful things, and yet when he came to look at what he counted on for salvation, he said, I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul's assurance was not in the work he'd done since salvation. Paul's assurance was in what the work that Christ had done in him for salvation. I know whom I have believed. Amen. Amen. Now, in conclusion, let me make this final point. In conclusion, assurance of salvation. I'm gonna make a statement, and I read this from another man, an old Puritan. I read this from his and tweaked it a little bit to say it in words that I think I can say it real dogmatically. Here's the statement: assurance of salvation is the result of a competent knowledge of the person and work of Jesus Christ as revealed in the gospel, and a conscious dependence on Him and His work alone for salvation. I'm going to say that again because it's a mouthful, but it's a good definition of what I believe assurance is. Assurance of salvation is the result of a competent knowledge of the person and work of Jesus Christ as revealed in the gospel, and a conscious dependence on Him and His work alone for salvation. Now, one of the reasons why I'm careful about how we do invitations, how we do door knocking, one of the reasons I'm careful about some of that, because I think there's been an emphasis on let's hurry up and let's get another number and let's move on to another place. And by the way, we're interested in sinners and we don't want them to wait too late. But they have to know something. They have to know something about God in order for them to get saved. I said there's got to be a competent knowledge. Again, I said I was 8 years old. How much can an 8-year old know? But I knew something about Jesus. I'm afraid that sometimes we get people in and we get them all worked up in emotion. Maybe a movie. Maybe a play. Maybe a real smooth, quick, condensed, edited, brief demonstration of the gospel. And we want them to make a decision right then. And they're not ready. Not that none of them are ready, but maybe some of them are not ready. That's my point. By the way, I do believe people can get saved at the door. Amen. I do. I believe people can get saved. If God's dealing with them, they can get saved a lot of different ways. Amen. They can get saved. Brother Steve got saved in a pickup truck. Isn't that right? Not even in church. Well, how do you get saved? Wasn't even at the altar. I wasn't preaching, so I doubt he's even saved. Some people. No, but salvation doesn't have to be, really, to be honest with you, salvation in reality does not have to be as cut and dried the way a lot of times that we think, and we put it in our plan, our polished way. But I'll say this, nobody ever gets saved ignorantly. They have to know something about Christ. Amen. They don't have to necessarily know about the premillennial, pre-trib, amen, rapture and all that. And maybe they don't know a whole lot. Maybe they don't know what even the word repentance means. I couldn't have spelled the word repentance the day I got saved. I doubt it. Amen. There's a lot of things maybe they don't even know, but they have to know something about Christ. They shouldn't just be hurriedly rushed through. And by the way, we're guilty of it. Somebody comes down and they're calling on God and we want them to hurry up and get it over with and get it settled. And I understand we don't want them unsettled, but at the same time, it may take some time for them to deal with God in their heart so they can get to the place they quit looking at themselves and they quit looking at other things and they look to Him. I'm afraid if we're not careful, we'll do like those two men did, Pete Bishop there in Wilkes, and say, don't say a word, you're saved. When he knew deep down he wasn't saved. He knew deep down he wasn't. This phrase, competent knowledge, I use that phrase on purpose. Because I don't believe that people get saved ignorantly. Somewhere, somehow, they have to grasp in their heart and their mind the simplicity of the gospel. And it is a simple gospel. It's not hard believism. Amen. It's not hard for them. It's hard for a person to recognize and admit they're lostless. It's hard sometimes for a person to actually turn loose of everything else and trust Christ and nothing else. Amen. But listen, it is possible to be at the altar praying and they're saying, trust Christ. But in your mind, you're trusting, do I have enough faith? Am I doing this right? What, you're trusting in something other than Him and Him alone. And that's what you got to get to for God to truly save you. And when you get there, by the way, you can have assurance if he's who you've looked to, because he saves. He does it right when he does it. He does it right. Amen. He does it right. Well, I do believe that even a child can believe the simplicity of the gospel. But for some people it takes time. For some people it takes exposure. Amen. For some, by the way, that's why we ought to encourage them to come back. Amen. That's why it's good for people to sit in church and hear the gospel over and over and over again. Amen. Amen. That's why preaching is so important, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. If we're saved by faith, they got to hear the Word of God. They got to have something for God to work with. Amen. And that's why we don't use movies. Amen. Or plays. And I'm not fighting people that do that. I'm just saying that's why we don't. It's because I want to be careful. I want to be careful. Sometimes the avenues that we use, we give them a false hope. Now, having said that, let me say this. I'm concluding. Don't wait for a voice from heaven to tell you you're saved. Trust the voice of the Scripture. Trust the voice of the Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God that speaks to us, that witnesses to our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. I remember Brother Jim Ward back there. When Brother Jim came talking to me, we was in the office back there. And was it during missions conference that year? I was thinking it was. During missions conference. He wanted to talk to me. We went back there in my office, talked. He was told me that he wasn't sure about his salvation. We prayed. Though I talked to him and told him, I can't tell you. I can't give you assurance. All I can do is pray with you. And you pray. We'll ask God to show you. We got down on our knees and prayed. I said, is everything all right? Yes, sir. He said, everything's all right. I stood up and started to the door, and he just fell back down there by the couch. He said, it ain't all right. Went to calling on God. Amen. But when he got up, he knew he was saved. I didn't have to tell him he was. Amen. I couldn't. I'm not the judge. Amen. Well, I'll leave it alone. We don't have, amen. Well, just, here's the thing. The Holy Ghost dealing with sinners, and that's exactly what it takes, by the way. It takes the Holy Ghost dealing with sinners. Our job is to sow the seed. Our job is to pray, plead, beg God to save them. Amen. Amen. I think we ought to beg them to come. We ought to beg them to come back. We ought to do our best to try to make them comfortable as they can be. Make them welcome as they can be. Amen. And let the Word of God just plow and plow and plow, and pray while the Word of God's plowing. Amen. And pray while the Holy Ghost is dealing. And ask God to draw them and to give them assurance. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I believe you can come to the place Paul did in Romans chapter 8, verse number 38 through 39. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You can have your confidence in Him. My confidence is not in being a Baptist. I got saved in an independent Baptist church. But it wasn't the independent Baptist church that saved me. My pastor, he's dead now, Donald McCleary, if I could say, led me to the Lord. He prayed with me, told me to trust Christ. But Donald McCleary didn't save me. I didn't look to him. I looked to Christ to save me. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I want to ask just a couple of questions. Have you been assured by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit that you are saved? Or, here's what he said in that. We know that we are of God. But then he says, here's something else we know. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Are you still wrapped up in that wickedness? You're in one place or the other. You're in one place or the other. Do you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Do you have the Holy Spirit working in you? Maybe you need to come pray. Some are praying already in the pew, some here at the altar. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God and the assurance that comes from the Word and from the Spirit. Thank you, dear God, that you can grant that assurance. Lord, I pray nobody has been caused to doubt, but Lord, that they get it settled, that they can trust Christ, not trust themselves, not trust what somebody else said, not trust what somebody else did, but trust in Christ and Him alone. for their salvation. Lord, I pray you would solidify that. Even little faith, if it's put in Christ, is saving faith. Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts of our loved ones. We've got people we'd like to see saved. We've got people that claim they are, but it looks to me more like they're caught up in that world of wickedness. Looks like they're enjoying that world of wickedness rather than enjoying the presence of God and the people of God. Lord, I pray work in their heart. Draw them to Christ before it is too late. Help these that are praying, whether on the altar or in the pew, Lord, help them. Somebody out there listening by way of radio or internet, Lord, I pray you'd work in their heart. Draw them to Christ before it is too late. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing as we do if you need to come.